It ain't easy. Don's probably feeling a little out of place. So do I. Paul said he was with fear and trembling as he stood before people. I understand that. I get a nervous stomach every time I preach because it is an awesome responsibility to talk to people about the Word of God. But Don has taken over for Mark, and I'm sure Mark would be pleased. Kathy emailed him, I think, this morning and told him that he was doing a great job. I think he is.
Amen.
And all the people have cooked and done all this. It's unbelievable. Wayne is working himself into a fever, and they're brothers. Runs into
a... Watching me and Jack
here. I got a hide on that one. You know, Jerry had to come south to get saved out of Indiana. I go up to Cleveland quite a bit, and I tell them I have to take God above the Mason-Dixon so that they can get it. We were sitting in a Pizza Hut one time, and it was Steve Hunyadi and Frank. Two men, I love them in the Lord, been going up there for years to Cleveland, and we were sitting in a Pizza Hut, and I said, this is the grace of God, that two Yankees and a Southerner could eat pizza together. I want you to turn with me back to 1 Corinthians 2. In a crowd like this, there's always somebody that's insecure about their salvation. Hardly ever fail. And salvation is not hope so, maybe so. It is. You are or you're not. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. The in-between there's no reality there, I guess. But I bargained with the Lord many years. I'll just give you a word of testimony. May 17, 1984, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I received the salvation that He had already accomplished in the fact that He had died for my sins and was buried and rose again the third day. He died that I might have life. I want to add something. I appreciate Barry's message. That was great. But there is another letter. A, B, and D. I didn't bless or curse an Israelite. I'm a dummy. God saved a dummy. And by grace, you're saved. You got to hear the gospel. Somebody walked up to you. Somebody stood in a pulpit in front of you. And they showed you that Christ died for your sins. Then it was up to you from that point to receive it. I went to work in a ministry lost. A lost believer. I believed that Jesus died all my life and rose again. I believed in Christmas and Easter. Didn't know any better anyway. I believed in the churches. I thought the churches were all preaching the same thing, just had a little disagreement in some kind of other thing. I used to look out in a hangover, and I could see three churches in Missouri. And I'd wonder which one God was in that day, because none of them really said the same thing. They had different names on it, and I said, is God visiting that church or that church or that church? So I didn't, I was totally ignorant to things. And any people you deal with in religion is ignorant. They're not stupid. They're ignorant to the truth. Most people are smarter than I am. Most people are more intelligent at theology than I am. But they're ignorant to God's righteousness. God's righteousness is what you've got to have.
Amen.
Now, there's something else you've got to have to go to heaven. You know what it is? You got to have spirit. You ain't got the spirit of Christ, you ain't going to heaven. God don't know you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Last night we read this, verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So the emphasis in the verse is being crucified, correct? If they would have known what this did, would they have done it?
Yeah.
That's what the verse says. I use ABC is already been crucified. Have you? Have you been already crucified? Are you dead to sin? Are you alive in Christ? Does the Spirit of God, are you in the Spirit according to Romans 8:9? Are you still in the flesh? People don't understand the difference between being in the flesh and the Spirit because they think like Nicodemus did. Can I get again in my mother's womb and be born again? He's thinking flesh. Jesus is not talking about flesh. He's talking about the wisdom of God in that time period. God speaks through Paul in a time period called the dispensation of grace. And he reveals some things to Paul. I want you to turn back to where Barry was in Genesis 12. There is another part of Genesis 12. And it's a key word. It's and. The word and is a key word in this. We go over here to Genesis 12. And where Barry's talking about blessing and cursing, so forth and so on. But another word shows up. And the word is and. In Genesis 12:1, now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. In Genesis 12, verse 3 again, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. Colon, right? What's the next word? And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now that shows up in a passage. Turn to Galatians. But it don't show up like that. In Galatians chapter 3, I want to talk to you about the workmanship of God. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, which that shows up in Romans chapter 3. How does he justify the circumcision? By faith. How does he justify the uncircumcision? Through faith. And there is a difference between by and through. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 and you'll see it. There are differences in by and through. There's differences in and of. And all those verses, all words have differences in them. All right? He said, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, and thee shall all... Say that again. That ain't what you read in Genesis. It said families. That's nations there. And it comes after the and. Well, there's a mystery in that passage with that and. Because let's read on. Verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed every one that continueth not in all things which were written in the book of the law to do them. I see people with the Ten Commandments in their yard, and I say, look at that, that's a household of cursedness. You can't keep the law, folks. You may have tried. How many of you could even quote the law? How many of you could even go to where it is? It's getting quieter. Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5 gives you the law. But it also has in Deuteronomy a blessing and a curse there. He said, I'll bless you if you do everything I tell you, keep all the commandments and ordinances, or I'll curse you if you don't. The last word in the Old Testament, so-called Malachi, is what they call the Old Testament, which it didn't, is curse. Let's read on. But that no man is justified by the law is in the sight of God, it is evident, the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us, inclusive of Paul. Well, he's a Jew. Wasn't Paul a Jew? He said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That, the blessing of Abraham, that's the after the and, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. How? Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of... What does it take to get to heaven? You ain't going to heaven without it, folks. He don't know you. They that are of the law, he don't know them in accordance to grace. Why? Grace is no more of works. I asked a man the other day, I said, what's the definition of grace? He said, unmerited favor. I said, show me. Show me that verse. There's no such thing as saying unmerited favor verse. Where do you get the description of grace? Romans 11, 6. And if by grace, then it is no more? For if it's of works, it's no more grace. And if it's grace, it's no more works. You got the definition of grace. Well, in this passage, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. I thank God for the Ephesian letter.
Amen, God.
I really thank God for the Colossian letter for what you're fixing to probably eat.
Yeah.
Place full of heathens. Baton Rouge is full of heathens. Selma's full of heathens. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, where Barry was reading that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Partakers of what? What did he promise by that and? That's right. He promised that Spirit of God. Folks, you're not going to heaven without it. Well, how do you get the Spirit of God? You hear the gospel. You receive it. Barry's talking about receiving it, receiving it. Well, you receive. You receive the fact that God is willing to give you the Spirit of his dear Son if you will believe. Not work. Hey, that dollar bill trick, that ain't work, folks. You don't earn that dollar. The promise of verse 6 is that we got to partake, you know, those D's, those dummies. We got to partake of the Spirit of God. God gave us the right to go to heaven. And we ain't worth killing. We ain't worth the salt it take to salt you down and hang you in a smokehouse. God should have cut the tree down in front of us and never let us get there to hear it in the first place. But instead, He allowed a dispensation to be brought in. Now, what I want to talk to you about, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. How many of you were born again when you were young? You were a born-again, premillennial, pre-trib, fundamental Bible believer. You hear that all the time, don't you? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. My mother passed away in 87. My dad passed away in 83. What did they do? They passed away. They died. I hope my father went to heaven. I hope my mother went. I believe my mother absolutely did. I believe the day that I was talking to her, I believe she trusted the Lord, for it hit her like a rock. My dad was on his deathbed, and I got a chance to witness to him there. And upon his deathbed, that night he slept alone for the first time since he had cancer. He wasn't afraid any longer. I hope he got it. I hope he's asleep in the Lord. I hope he's resting, as in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I hope my mother is resting. And she said she was. That's between her and the Lord. It's between you and the Lord, not between... You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell Barry. You don't have to tell Don. You don't have to tell Steve or anybody else in here. I don't see how you keep from it. The night I trusted the Lord, I was riding in a van. But I was driving the van. I was driving a van full of preachers. Brother Moore sat next to me. Mark Vogt. Bud Morgan. There's several people in the van with me. We come back from Fairhope, Alabama. Brother Moore preached, "How shall I pardon thee?" And he went into the gospel. For 5 years, I've been bargaining with the Lord. I said, "Lord, did I say it right to you? Maybe I didn't say, and I wasn't in the right mood. Lord, I'm going to try it again for you here." And I tell the Lord, "You know that I believe that Jesus died for me. You know that I'm working in a ministry. You know I quit drinking. You know I cut my hair off. I don't have a ponytail. I'm working for Brother Moore. I've got to be saved." "You wouldn't have let me work with Brother Moore. He would have known it." He was a powerful preacher, but he didn't have ESPN. I said, "Lord, maybe I just didn't say it. I'm just not in the right mood. Gosh, if I could stop driving this van, I'd get on my knees, and I know that'd make it effective." It's not where you are, and it's not what contortion you put yourself in, and it's not how you deny yourself of anything. Can you receive the fact that His Son did it all for you, and that God's satisfied? God don't need your help, folks. Jesus Christ did what God asked. He did the will of God. I have never done the will of God except receive. And that is the will of God. I said, "Lord, maybe I didn't get it right." And at 9:53 across from the rest area on I-10 between Pensacola and Spanish Fort, I gave up.
Praise the Lord, brother.
I said, "Lord, You forgave me. I submitted." For all you ladies in here, you know what the word means. If you're a righteous and good wife, you have submitted to a man that's meaner than you. Think I'm kidding? I know the plight of a woman. I watched them. To submit to a man is a terrible thing because men are mean. I mean, folks, all you got to do is watch animals, farm animals. You'll see that. Bulls aren't nice. Bulls go out there and they rule the roost, folks, and they're mean. If you don't like it, they'll give you a thumping. Men are not nice sometimes. Oh, we're nice when we want something. Uh-huh. But things change on us. But to submit to something is to just give up and totally say whatever you want. The Apostle Paul said, "Lord, what will you have me do?" He didn't say, "You know, Lord, I got a plan. I say we ought to get the Jews saved and kill them Gentiles." I mean, folks, you send a Jew to a Gentile, wouldn't that a lovely job opportunity?
Yeah.
All his life, he hated Gentiles. He thought they were ungodly and dogs. And God said, "You're going to be their apostle." Wow. God said that when I went to Selma. Brother Steve Atwood was sitting on the porch, and I said, "Steve, they chose another preacher, and I really want to go there." He looked at me and said, "Are you nuts?" I said, "Steve, I have a great desire that I cannot understand or comprehend or explain. I believe God would have me in Selma." And a year later, I was there. We've been there 17 years. When I went to Arkansas, we had the worst time I've ever had going there. And in Arkansas, We picked up beer cans to eat to preach on the side of the road. My income was $170 a month. I changed every day on that Bible study to get people to come, trying not to interfere with them. And they wouldn't come. And then one guy came. I preached to my family 5 weeks in a row. And the sixth week, a man came that I had witnessed to on a caboose going to Carthage, Missouri. I had him for 8 hours. When he came, I thought, God's opening the door. A couple weeks later, his wife came. She got saved. Then his mother came. A week or two later, she got saved. And his dad had worked with my father when my father was older and still working. He was a younger man. He worked with my father. And they said, he'll never come. So I went to visit him. We immediately hit it off. He remembered my dad. We talked. He came, and I'd love to give you his testimony. He's dead now. He came for 1 month. We had a Bible study in the garage behind the house. For 1 month he came. One Sunday I preached on a hope so, maybe so salvation. And he was all over the chair. He had worms. He had fleas and ticks. He was itching. You keep that in mind because I'm going to show you something in a minute. He was itching. And he just all over the place. So we left and we went up to the house to eat. And about 1 o'clock I see Charles and Dolores Reed. And they don't stop at the house. They go right down to the building where we had the Bible class. Then Dolores, who is the mother that got saved before, she said, Brother Charles would like to speak to you. He's got a problem. I said, yeah, he does. He's lost. So I went down there and I said, Mr. Reed, what's your problem? He said, well, I'm just not sure about my salvation. I said, I ain't either. But I said, there ain't nothing I can do about it. I'm going to go back and eat. I said, you heard the gospel as plain as I know how to give it to you this morning. I'll say it one more time. Christ died for your sin. God is satisfied. He raised his son. He forgave you. And I went back up and eat. Stayed another 15 minutes. They left. That was on Sunday. Monday morning, that man went out in his garage and loaded his shotgun. He was in such a turmoil that he actually loaded, and I have never figured out why it takes 5 shells. One will do the trick. That's in case you miss, I guess. And he sat there and looked at that shotgun, and he said, oh, my God, I'm fixing to send myself where I'm afraid to go. And he said, I don't have to. Someone else died for me. And he called me up. He said, Brother Jerry, I'm saved. I said, praise God. He sat down and read the Bible. It took him 6 months. And every week he'd come and he says, man, I've been seeing what you said. But he said, he was reading along there and he came to the book of Acts and he said, things were changing there. He said, he got to the book of Romans. He says, holy miracle, this is all different. Got to the book of Ephesians. He said, whoa, no scripture to back this up. It's new. It's revelation. Then he got to Hebrews and he said, back to Israel. And folks, he wasn't an educated man and he could see it. If you read the book with the Spirit, you can see it. He died years later in a shower with a heart attack. His wife died. They had been married 50-something years, died later. They were very blessed to me. They had supported me in my ministry. They were the first real Bible class I had in Mountain Home. And I enjoyed them. Well, his son is the first one in the caboose. He's still with me in Mountain Home. His children, two of them were in the oven when I was preaching. Remember, that baby's listening. We used to put Paca Bell on Mama's belly, and the babies would be kicking and going. So they all knew Brother Moore when he came out of the womb. Think I'm kidding, folks? Train up a child. Let them hear it in that echo chamber. They'll hear preaching. Say, I don't think kids get it. They get it better than you do. They don't got all that junk to pump out. Get a child when they're young. Hey, Catholics done proved it. They said, give us a child when he's 1 to 5, and we'll make him a Catholic all his life. Okay? Get one 1 to 5 and make him a grace believer the rest of his life. What's wrong with that? And every one of them in Arkansas have been saved by the grace of God. And they're trying to raise a church now by having babies. One class the other night we had, I think it was like almost 20 kids there. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What? To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God. For he, God, had made him, the Lord, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Turn with me to say, well, since you're there, goes in verse 5. Now he that hath wrought us, and wrought is like wrought iron, never has there been a man that was a decent welder that couldn't see what he was going to weld before he welded. You've got to see what you're putting together, folks. God saw before the foundation together of the world what he was putting together in this household of God. I call it a three-story house. First story would be the meek. Second story, the city. Third story, Holy of Holies, where God is, where no man is approached unto, but now man has been invited to come up with the Spirit of God. And it's a household of God. Barry read in Matthew chapter 15, what were Gentiles considered as? You ever consider a yard dog versus a house dog? Cooter is a house dog. That's our dog, Cooter. You can tell we're from Alabama. Cooter is a half-toy poodle and a half-chihuahua, and he's mean as a snake, he thinks. He's one bite for a German shepherd. Cooter lives in the house. He accepts no other dogs in his house. They are not welcome. They are trespassers. They are not his fans. He has been let in the house because in the house of Kathy and Jerry, he's welcome. There's an old yard dog out there. He got fleas and ticks and ugly, and he has found some good stuff to roll in. Probably old dead fish and dung. And he just proud of himself. He's rolled in his dung, and he's saying, can I come in? And Kathy says, you stink. You can't come in. You got fleas and you'll get them on Cooter. The trouble is, if you open the door, Cooter will go out and join him. You see, a Gentile's a dog until he dies. That word is not like accursed. It's like, this is the way you act. A dog returneth to his own vomit. Lord, I'll never drink and get drunk again. I have told the Lord that when I was sick, because, I mean, I wouldn't say that if I was drunk and having a good time. But when I was sick, Lord, I'll never do this again. If you'll just make me feel better, I promise I'll never do it again and return to my own vomit again. It's amazing that you would drink something enough to throw up. Well, what about eating it? Everybody walks away and goes, oh, my God, I've eaten too much. Well, go up and throw up. Oh, I don't want to do that. Waste good food. Yard dog's out there, and he's looking in that house. And he's going, you know, it's raining out here. He's all dribbling and just wet and stinking. Oh, my God. And the ticks on it. Get that tick off of me. Tail trying to knock the flies off. Oh, I wonder what it's like in there in that house. Gosh, I'd like to go in there. Brother Ralph Carson's a very dear friend. And, of course, Mrs. Moore, known Ralph forever. Ralph lived next door to Tower Drive, Roslyn Way. Right next door. His testimony one day, he kept seeing people go in and out of there. Somebody had to use the phone. They didn't have a phone or something wasn't working. They went over there and borrowed Ralph's phone. And he said, what's going on over there? Well, they're having Bible class. He said, would they let me come? Would you reckon they'd let me come in? Well, they don't cut a tree down in front of you. Come on. And Brother Ralph went over there, and the rest of the story you know. Brother Ralph's been with the Moores for many, 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 many years. And faithful. I have rode with him and Brother Moore to Citronelle and other places, and Ralph is a great joy. When we got to Pensacola, we didn't even have a car, and Ralph gave us a car within 5 minutes that we were there. Our Volkswagen wouldn't pull behind us as we pulled the U-Haul, and it would go, and I took it back to my dad, and I said, sell it, do whatever, I can't pull this all the way to Pensacola. And as soon as I got there, Ralph said, you don't have a car, do you? I said, no, sir. He said, you got a dollar? I said, I think. And I pulled a dollar. What do you want with this dollar? He said, the car's yours. Karma Ghia. It could make it to Mobile in 43 minutes. It run. Had all my kids pile them in that Karma Ghia. You laugh. I rode in a Festiva with my family for years. Festiva was the greatest car I ever owned in my life. Get almost 50 miles a gallon, run 100 miles an hour, get you to Bible class and start every time. Somebody asked me one time, do you trust that Festiva to start? And I said, I believe it will, but I don't trust it. Hey, I want you to think about something. Do you trust that you're saved, or you just believe it? If somebody said to you, do you trust the fact that God's Son died for your sins and that God is satisfied? He'll never do anything, condemn you. He'll never throw you in hell. He'll never say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew. He will never have anything bad to say about you. Do you trust that? Or do you just believe and hope so? And then you got that doubt, and you're saying in your mind, man, I hope God didn't see that sin. Lord, I'm sorry. I got drunk. It just came over me. Somebody said, do you believe that festival will start? I said, yeah. He gets a gun out, puts it to my head. He said, now, do you trust it will? Uh-oh, now I'm thinking about the battery. when I put the new battery in? It might fail me. It might burp, belch back, and not start. Do I trust it? Wow. That's a whole new issue, ain't it? Well, I'd say, maybe I don't trust it. It might fail me. The salvation of God cannot fail. God knows what He's doing. He knew what you and I needed. He made somebody else to be sin for us who knew no sin. He let Him be crucified. Wouldn't it be a terrible atrocity for God's Son to sit up there and then God said, look down there and said, oh my God, Barry's got good enough for me to save him. Never mind about you dying. How can he do that? You know, they got mad at Jesus Christ. They said, your master's eating with publicans and sinners. There ain't nobody else to eat with, is there? But they had picked themselves out that they weren't publicans and sinners. You tell people Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none to seek of that and understand, no to seek of that. There's none to do it good, on and on and on. And they say, yeah, I know that. There is none. There's none. But they ain't going, there's none. They're going, none. For you're not part of the none. Yeah, you are. You're sitting in this room tonight. You have no way to God except by the promise of the Spirit. And the only way you're going to hear that's the gospel of your salvation. If you hear the gospel of your salvation and trust it, God will seal you with it. Jesus Christ was sealed. Did you know that? The Bible said the Spirit descended like a dove down. And He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Oh my God. This is my beloved Son in the faith in whom I'm well pleased because of my Son. I see Barry holding without blame before me in love. My Son's at the right hand interceding for him. Barry don't know what to pray for. Didn't say he didn't know how to pray. Get him in trouble. You'll find out he knows how to pray. But he don't know what to pray for as he ought. You don't know what to pray for as you ought. Folks, if we had a table up here, you've heard me say before, if you had a table up here and you got a pie, a cake, a loaf of bread, and some ice cream. Aunt climbing right over there. He's food. He comes this way. You're standing here watching your table saying that little, he's going to get up on my table. Well, there's a pie there. God is like us looking at that table. He knows where that ant's going. And He knows what He's going to hit first. How many of you think you fool God sometime? How many of you prayed to God and your mind is clear and, oh, I'm praying to God, and then, where did that come from? You didn't hear that, God. Please tell me you didn't hear what I just thought. Get up one more and say, I'm going to serve the Lord. I am going to read. Oh my God, I'm going to read. Phone rings. You want to go fishing? Okay. Go to bed at night and you say, I'm going to pray to God. The best sleep additive is prayer. Begin to pray and you'll be asleep just like that. Huh? Huh? Yeah. I'm going to serve the Lord with my best ability. Oh, I got something else too. Oh, wretched man that I am. You ever seen my bumper on my truck? It says, oh, wretched man that I am. Who should deliver? A lady made that for me. Panama City. It might have had a meaning for me, you know, I reckon. But I see people driving around with that bumper sticker. I know they're in the Bible study. I can identify them. Well, guess what? God can identify you. You're not going to be down here and God says, time to be caught up. And you're sitting here going, why didn't I get to go? Lord, I'm a member of the church. I work for that minister. I've said it to you. Why did you leave me? He won't leave those that are His. The security of it is Ephesians. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I haven't got time. I'm not even going to try. I was going to show you the four reasons the word dispensation is laid out. But I can give you a thought. You know, when you lay out dispensations the way Paul did it, and it's in Corinthians and Ephesians and the other passages, Colossians, I believe it is, or what is it? The last one is in Colossians, yes. He lays those words, the dispensation, and each one of them has a different phrase. I want you to think about building a house. My friend Jimmy built a house years ago with his dad, and it was ruined in the flood. Was it Katrina? Rita. Terrible. I mean, it was a lovely house, and him and his dad built it, and I know it broke his heart. But now they have a new house. I don't know, where is your new house? Somewhere in, and it got his motorcycle. Now, that's devastating. Man asked me one time, you think motorcycles go to heaven? I said, if he do, God will move out. And he was talking about Harleys. I think you want God to have a belching, oil-dripping, loud thing up in heaven? He said, well, I just had to ask. I said, you're probably one of them. Put candles around your bike and pray to it. In building a house, there are several things you need. You need somebody who can read a blueprint. You need a blueprint. You need workers. You need material. And you need it finished. And that's all the ways those words dispensation are used in the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that key word is what? That was promised in Genesis. Remember the word and? What is it the devil didn't know that God could do if he killed a son? Give that spirit to somebody he wanted to, whether the devil liked it or not. Folks, you don't have to bless a Jew. You don't have to curse a Jew. You don't have to do anything. You know why? God's offering his spirit to you right now. You come in here and you think you're going to eat crawfish. You come in here to hear the gospel of your salvation so that you might receive the Spirit of God so that when you leave this place, you are sealed with it and there ain't nothing can separate you. According to Romans chapter 8, I'm talking about life or death. God abolished death for you. That means death is abolished. Folks, ain't you ever read in Revelation? It does not say sins. It does not say the judgment is about sins. It is about whether death and hell. And it said them. You know what you are? If you were to die today without the Lord, you're going into death, which is probably in the same cavity with hell, and you're looking forward to a day when you get delivered up and cast into the lake of fire. How about that? Wouldn't that be lovely? But you know how long you'll be in the lake of fire? And you will be thinking about the day you resisted the truth. The day that God in His mercy offered you salvation. You got up and got dressed and you got in your car and you came down thinking, well, it's going to be a great day. We'll get to see the people. I sure hope they don't get all lost believers. I sure hope they don't make me get convicted. I hope I can just enjoy myself. Well, get convicted. This may be your last day on earth. This may be the day you go into death without the Lord for eternity, because when death and hell are delivered up, cast into the lake of fire. And as you're there in your soul moaning and groaning for eternity, you say, oh my God, please. And God won't listen. You're there for eternity. He never knew you. And all it took is swallowing your pride. Say, well, I don't want to tell nobody. It's embarrassing. I'd rather be embarrassed than burn. When I got out of that van that night, I said, Brother Moore, can we talk? We went around the side of the house to that tower drive. I think Mrs. Moore had already gone in, but there was several men standing out there. And I said, Brother Moore, I just trusted the Lord. Praise God, let's pray. We got on our knees and we prayed. And he prayed, for he knew what was coming. As I walked out, I said, you know, I'm going to try to get in my car with my wife and not tell this. This is embarrassing. I've been working 5 years lost. I got halfway to my car and said, guys, I'm saved by the grace of God. And they're going, well, we know that. I said, no, you don't get it. I trusted the Lord tonight. I gave up finally. I submitted to the Lord. I'm saved by the grace of God. And Mark Vogt got in his car and drove off mad. A Marine captain, pilot of Chinook, flew Africa, had his sword above his mantle. Been to his house many times. Friends of him. Lives up in Muncie now or in Pennsylvania. He said he looked at that sword many times and thought how proud he was. Or you go into Marine barracks and they tell you that you're the great. You're the one. And that sword represented the fact that he was an officer and a gentleman. That sword won't get you to heaven. And he drove down the road and he came back and he said, Brother Moore, I'm lost. And he trusted the Lord right there in the yard. Next day, all hell broke loose with me. For the first time that weekend, Jehovah Witnesses appeared at 204, at 111 Roslyn Way. We've been living there for 4 years. They never tried to come before. They attacked me that day. Why? Try to convince me of something else. And we had a knockdown, drag out fight. Folks, all those years didn't mean I didn't have a memory. I could tell you where Brother Moore was going before he went there in a Bible class. I'd been with him long enough to know. And that Jehovah got the whole load. He left the house, him and another fellow. The younger fellow was just overwhelmed. He didn't know what to do. Had a briefcase. He was trying to buckle it, and before he got off the steps, it unloaded with a thunderstorm like you had never seen. I thought the hurricane hit, and it filled his briefcase. He got down the end of the deal and turned around and looked and go, what was that all about? Wrath of God! No. I thought it was funny. I was just like, this is cool. It happens, you know. I had nothing to do with me, but it was great. Like, boom! He was from Chicago. You could have lit a match on his forehead on the porch. He was so mad at me. I had people come over to the house and say, Brother Jerry, you are saved. I said, I was saved when Christ rose from the dead, but I didn't know it. I hadn't received it yet. I understand it now. I said, why are you mad at me? Friends came to me. Friends wrote me. Everything. They're talking to me. But I'm dealing with my wife. Man, I left that night, went back to the house. I said, are you saved? I want to know, are you saved? I need you. Are you saved? She called her mom and she said, he's went nuts. I kid you not. She said, he's went nuts. I'm going to stay a Baptist. At least they got sanity. 2 weeks later in Baton Rouge, my wife got saved. 23 of them got saved that weekend here. Yes, Baton Rouge is dear to me. And one Madden got mad. 23 saved and one mad. The man said, Brother Moore, what's going on here? He said, people are getting saved. Well, save me, Brother Moore. Sorry, can't help you. I don't know whether he was meaning I can't help you, you're too far gone, or no, I can't help you. And that man left and went back to New York. Isn't that amazing? Here you sit in Baton Rouge, and God's given you an opportunity to embarrass yourself for eternity greatness. Here you sit thinking about crawfish and hoping Brother Jerry will shut up, and God is offering you the free gift of eternal life. And all you have to do is accept it. And God will take a yard dog and bring him into his house clean, with no ticks and itches, no nastiness. You'll be bathed and cleansed, and you'll be sitting there with Cooter. I know it's a silly story, but folks, it works. You have been allowed into the household of God, according to Ephesians, if you trust Him. And in the household of God, it is He for eternity. We will see the great glory of God in His creation. We will understand then. We'll know all. And we will be so glad that we were in the household of God. We don't understand why people in our family don't understand and don't trust now. We'll know. They had the same chance you did. People that deny, that's their choice. They can go to hell if they want. Man got mad, Brother Moore, one night, and was standing outside. Guy said, I don't believe that cross was a tree. What? I think Brother Moore said, what? You think it's concrete?
Yeah.
And he said, I don't believe in hell either. And he said, fine, just go to hell. And he got mad. And he said, what are you mad at me for? And he said, you said go to hell. And he said, you don't believe it anyway. Don't bother you. That's the problem. Folks, let me tell you something. Hell and death is real. And it's awaiting you. It's there just as sure as you're sitting in that chair. And you do have faith. I never saw anybody come in here and check their chair whether it holds you up or not. They might have rigged one. Don, when are you going to pull a button? Somebody out there is going to go, pfft. You have faith. Put your faith in the power of God. The power of God can save you, and did. You understand? It's not that you really, it's getting saved. You're accepting the salvation that God accomplished. That's being saved, folks. It's accepting what He did for you before you were ever born. There can be nothing done more better. More better.
More better.
It's done. It's finished. It's waiting for you. It's right there. And all you've got to do is say, amen, Lord, I'm saved. I can come to heaven because of you. Trust Him. Because you might choke on a crawfish. And if you're lost, they're not going to show you how. But you better hurry, because I'm going to get in line in front of you. Is the older fellows getting in line first?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I knew it'd pay off one day. One more time. Are you lost? Are you without knowledge? Are you insecure? Are you wondering? Do you have a hope so, maybe so? Settle it right now. Lord, I'm saved. You forgave me. I have the right to come to you because the Spirit of your dear Son. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.